Do you remember, and maybe you didn't watch a lot of MTV, but there was like the pickup artist show.
Vaguely.
He wore like a purple top hat or something. Like, it was wild. And I feel like he went by artist as well. Or maybe he went by like Mysterio. Not Mysterio. That's Jake Gyllenhaal's character in that Spider-Man movie, isn't it?
Oh, I don't know. I that just such a funny thing to go by whoever you are. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Two White Girls Talk Bollywood. I'm Kim.
And I'm Katie, and we're here to talk about singing and dancing and Bollywood goats.
Yeah, that was great. I wasn't expecting that. Also, happy birthday, Katie.
Oh, thank you. This is coming out 2 days after my birthday.
Right. So we're recording 5 days before your birthday.
Which means I get a week of birthday.
You do. And I would bet good money that I'll forget to wish you your birthday on your actual birthday because I'm terrible at remembering. I always remember the dates of people's birthdays. I just forget when it is that date and then it's too late.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Yeah. I know you know when my birthday is. Yeah. I accept this as your birthday wishes to me. So thank you.
Excellent. Well, and so we are watching Chopsticks this week.
Yes.
Was this just as delightful and wonderful for you as you were remembering it being?
It was. I told you that I watched it fairly recently on a plane. It is a great plane movie. Like, if you like this movie, it's a great plane movie.
Yeah, I could see
that. I think if you dislike this movie, you probably don't want to watch it no matter where you are.
Anywhere, yeah.
But yeah, I like how quiet it is.
Yeah.
It is simple and it's quiet and not a ton goes on, but then it has just little moments of cheeky humor and I find it warm and sweet. And yeah, I continue to like it as much as I liked it the first time I watched it.
I couldn't agree more. I think all the words you used, warm, sweet, a little cheeky, are great ways to describe it. I really do like it so much.
Right? Yeah.
Like, it's just, it's charming, and it's well-written, and it's well-acted, and
yeah,
I feel like they managed to do everything they set out to do in a short amount of time, and
right.
Yeah.
Yeah. We have it on our to-do list to talk about maybe the negative reviews that this has gotten and like the negative reception. I was shocked. I hadn't looked at the reviews up until today. And I was like, I'm sorry, it has a 20% on Rotten Tomatoes.
I could not believe that when I saw that. I was like my jaw hit the floor. And then I saw that it was like, that like audiences had rated, it was like 70% for audiences or something. And I was like, that, like, I would rate this as like a solid 70% good movie, you know?
Too.
Like, I would have expected it to have kind of like a 7 out of 10.
I think it's about like expectations.
Yeah.
And I agree with you. It accomplishes everything it sets out to do. And to be fair, it does not set out to do much. But that's okay.
That's okay.
I'm like, that's fine. We have space for those films. Like, I want that in my life sometimes.
Yeah. Movies can be about small stories. Like,
yeah.
And even then, I feel like this movie, like, it's a little bit crazy.
It is a little crazy. Like, the goat stuff, the weird singer on the toilet. What's that about?
It's wild. It's wild.
Because, was this the second time you've seen it? Or no, you've seen it more than that.
No, I think it was only the second. Or I guess. Okay. I think I did watch it. Okay, I think it is the third, because I think I watched it once by myself. I think I then brought it to you and was like, we have to watch this movie together. Mm-hmm. So I think it's the third time I've seen it. But the first two were so close together that I feel like it's the second time.
Well, I'm glad you liked it just as much.
Yes, me too. I will say my one complaint is about the subtitles. And I actually forgot that this movie is an example of this, but I've often said how annoying I find it when Hindi films don't subtitle the English. And I forgot how big of an egregious example of this that this movie is.
Yeah.
Not only do they not subtitle it when someone is speaking English, like full sentences in English, which that's fine. I speak English. I can understand what they're saying.
Right.
But literally, like, mid-sentence, if somebody said a single word in English, they wouldn't subtitle that word. And they would just, like, do the Hindi, then do dot, 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 and then more Hindi. I mean, not Hindi, but like whatever they were saying in Hindi.
Yeah.
And I was like, these are languages with different sentence structures. If you didn't hear that English word when they dropped it in there, you don't know what it was.
I actually had to pause and reassure myself that I had selected like subtitles because what bothers me about that is honestly it's an accessibility issue at that point more than anything. Like we can hear, so we can hear the English and pretty much catch what's going on, but like I don't know, I now pretty exclusively watch everything with subtitles, like whatever language it's in, I just have gotten used to now just having the English subtitles on too. And I like that. Even in things where they're speaking English, I find it beneficial. And so, yeah, I felt annoyed that my choice in that matter was, like, taken away from me.
Right. The idea that they would assume that you're only watching the English subtitles if you are because a hearing person who wants to watch a Hindi film with English subtitles. It's like, what if you actually just want to watch a movie with the English subtitles and you can't hear what they're saying?
Right.
Like,
and they didn't have that option and it bothered me. So thank you. Yes, I also have that complaint.
But other than that, it's a perfect movie, in my opinion.
Yes. Yes.
So our cast, actually, this is a second complaint of mine, because not just here on IMDb, but also in the opening credits for this movie, they do credit Abbe Diol first. And I don't like that choice.
I don't either. And yeah.
Like, he is a lead of this movie, but he is a supporting character. Like,
right. Yeah. And I get that he's, like, the big name of this movie.
Yeah.
But it's not his movie.
It's not his movie. But so Abbe Diol is artist. We don't blame him for the choice of having his credit first. That's not his fault.
Unless he fought for it, in which, which would be his fault, but we don't know.
Which would be sickening, but we don't know, so we'll just continue to live in ignorance about that. And then the actual star of the movie, Mithila Palkar, who plays Nirma. She's wonderful.
I love her.
She's great. And then Vijay Raz plays Fayaz Bhai.
Also wonderful.
Yeah.
He was funnier than I remember.
Yeah. I feel like they gave his character just the right amount of villainy, where like he is actually intimidating and scary, but not, but in a way where it's believable that he makes the choice he makes at the end.
Yeah. And I loved his comedic timing. I thought his comedic timing was fantastic in all ways.
It's good stuff. And the movie was directed by Sachin Yardi.
Mm-hmm.
So are we ready for the plot?
Let's do it.
Okay. We open in a car dealership, and the heroine of our film, Nirma, is excitedly watching as a salesperson drives her new car up to her. But her excitement is short-lived as she realizes that the numbers on the license plate add up to 11, and this reminds her of 9/11, which she sees as being unlucky, and I think that's fair.
Yeah. I also forgot all the ties to, like, the number 11 that she outlines. And I found myself thinking, I was like, was that planned? Like, was that part of the plan?
what are the odds? They're literally, like, there are conspiracy theories about it that are, like, it's all about the number of 11. I remember, like, going down a rabbit hole like that when I was, like, in middle school.
And I haven't. And I probably won't because I'm a little lazy. So I'll just be sitting here being like, I wonder. That is a thing.
Yeah. And is it really worth it? Another thing I remember is that if you change 9/11, this is so stupid. If you change 9-11 into Wingdings, you know, the font in Microsoft Word.
Oh, my gosh.
It's a plane. Okay. It's a plane going towards like two squares with lines.
Wow.
In it. Yeah, and it's like, okay, either they did that after 9/11, which is, like, the most inappropriate thing I could think of, or this is somehow built into the conspiracy.
Well, I also wonder, you know, I feel like when you're building a conspiracy theory, it's like, you just keep all the stuff that works for your conspiracy theory, and you toss away everything
else.
So like if you'd spend enough time on it, you are going to find, like, 30 things that you're like, whoa, that's freaky.
Yeah. Oh, and she says the name of one of the pilots had 11 letters in their name, but there were other planes that crashed.
There were.
With other pilots who probably had different numbers of letters in their names. So anyway. Anyway, that's enough about 9/11 for
9/11 conspiracy theories
for one episode. Okay. So, yeah, so the man says there's nothing that he can do about this. He hands her the keys, and then she has to drive out of the showroom, which was something that I just wanted to draw attention to, because I don't think they let you do that.
Well, maybe, is it cultural? Like, do they do that in India?
I mean, I don't know. Anytime that I've been with anyone buying a car, they drive it out of the showroom for you, because...
My car wasn't even in the showroom.
Well, mine wasn't when I bought it either. Mine was an old used car by the side of the road. But I remember, like, when my mom bought her car once, like, they drove it out of the showroom.
It was in the show. That's mine was just in the parking lot. And then they had to walk out with me into the Vermont winter and show me all the buttons in my car. And I was like, it would have been nice if this was in the showroom.
Yeah, it would be nice in the nice toasty showroom. My car doesn't have any buttons that do anything other than start it and start the radio. So.
I was going to say, your car's solid and dependable. And I will change that to it's solid and it is dependably unreliable in certain circumstances that you can expect.
That I can expect and work around. Yes, that's 100% true. Sometimes inconsistency is consistent and
Yeah, and then if it's consistent, it's fine.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Anyway, so on Nirma's way home from buying her car, she calls her mom, and we clearly see that this is where she got some of her kind of nervous, I wrote nervous type A energy. I feel like Nirma's probably somewhere on the spectrum. Like, she just, the way that she thinks, the way that she kind of functions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Her tics and things.
Yeah.
Yeah. Honestly, like, we all are on some sort of spectrum.
It's a spectrum for a reason. There's room for us all on that spectrum.
Yeah.
But yeah, so we see the way that her mom talks to her. Like, her mom tells her, like, oh, leave the plastic covers on the seats and make sure you wear a helmet till you get used to driving, which is crazy. Uh-huh. Nobody's ever given anyone that advice.
No. I mean, because she has a driver's license.
Yeah. Yeah. She's driven cars before, but not in Mumbai. But anyway, so then mom asks Nirma if she's been listening to the confidence boosting tapes that she has. And Nirma ends the call and she plays these tapes and it's this English voice saying slightly unhinged things. Like, I will kill them. What is it? I will
kill
them with success and bury them with a smile.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then Nirma repeats these lines that this English voice is saying.
She's just so relatable in so many ways.
Yeah.
Like, she and I have very different personalities, but I think no matter what your personality is, you've probably experienced her whole vibe at some point in your life, you know? Uh-huh. Like, I wish the best for her. And guess what? She gets the best.
She does. Yes. And that's what's fun. It's fun to watch someone go on a journey, I think, in a lot of different ways. But so we follow Nirma to her job. She works as a translator for Chinese tourists. And we see that she's always assigned to kind of the same, like, least coveted tour group touring the Dharavi slum. And so we see her leading this tour and she makes an inappropriate comment to the tourists about how the slum produces almost as many counterfeit goods as China. And understandably, the tourists are a little bit, they rankle at this a little bit.
Uh-huh.
After work, Nirma drives her car, her brand new car, to a busy temple. And she's looking around for parking and a man comes up and asks if she wants to do valet parking, essentially.
Yeah.
And she looks relieved and she says yes. And the man hands her a ticket and she gets out of the car and he drives away in her car. And after Nirma receives her blessings at the temple, she can't find the man anywhere. She asks a security guard where the valet parking is, and he tells her there isn't any valet parking, and her car has just been stolen.
Oh.
Yeah. And, like, talk about relatability. Like, I could, like, feel this in my heart. Like, just that, like, cold feeling coming over you of, like, oh my God, what have I done?
Where it feels like all the blood drains out of
your
body.
Yes, exactly.
And you get, like, the prickling at the back of your neck.
Yeah. And she just, like, she just looks, like, lost. This poor woman. And again, it's like, she maybe didn't think through the situation so much, but, like... I don't know. I feel like I could be conned in that way pretty easily.
Too.
Like, I've never tried to valet park my car, but I would believe it if somebody, like, just walked up and handed me a ticket.
like, especially if you're feeling a little, like, overwhelmed. Yeah. Because there's, like, a crowded street and you're like, oh, my God, like, I'm looking everywhere. And then a guy just came up and asked. And it's like, well, yeah, that solves my problems. Totally. Yep. Like, yeah, I think that's what's so good is that it is – I think it would be a mistake that a lot of us could make.
Yes, absolutely. But so she goes to the police. She wants to file a complaint. And the cop teases her. And he's like, oh, don't worry. I'll mobilize the entire police force. And she doesn't get the joke. She just thanks him.
Yeah, she doesn't really understand sarcasm.
Yeah. Which is another thing that makes me think about her being on the spectrum is just some of the little, like, social cues that she misses. But so there's another man at the station who overhears Nirma's complaint, and he tells her that the cops won't do anything quickly enough for her to get her car back before it gets stripped for parts. But he says he has a contact who can help her. And he gives her a phone number, and he says that the man's name is Artist, and he's a true artist who has avoided being caught by the police for 18 years. I like the moment where, like, Nirma's sitting talking to this man, and then it turns out that he's, like, tied up by the police, and she, like, didn't realize that he's a criminal who she's sitting there talking to. But so Nirma debates whether or not she should call Artist, but she finally calls him the next morning. As she's leaving her apartment, there's a sketchy dude just lurking in her hallway. And he's like, I'm here to fix your Wi-Fi. And
she's running his hand up and down his backpack. And I'm like, I don't like this motion.
And it's the weird way his hair is like sort of a comb over.
Oh, it's... But he has a full head of hair.
Yeah, it was just really bad. And so Nirma is just like, no, thank you, and slips past him. And I was just thinking about how horrible it is to be a woman living alone. So Nirma arrives at an abandoned, half-constructed apartment building to meet up with this guy, Artist. She makes her way upstairs to a sparsely furnished living space with a dirty, unmade mattress on the floor, four crisp, white, button-down shirts hanging on the wall, and a pug tied up in the corner.
Another complaint about this movie.
Sure.
Why is the pug not more involved? He's cute.
He is cute. Yeah, we definitely could have gotten more pug, for sure.
Yeah, we don't really see a ton of him. He's kind of just there. I was like, oh, right, I forgot there's a pug.
I know, me too. Yeah, could have had the pug and the goat hanging out.
Yeah. I'd watch that buddy cop show. Yeah.
What's the pug's name? I didn't write down the joke he makes about it, but...
The pug's name is Chicken Pox.
Yes, because then there's smallpox.
And then he had another dog cholera. Named Smallpox, but Smallpox was killed by cholera.
His third dog, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, but yeah, so Chickenpox and Bahubali. That sounds like a great series. I would watch that. So Nirma sees that there's another room attached to this living area. So she goes in, and it's a kitchen, and vastly different from the living space. It's like a mostly finished kitchen with like pristine, fancy high-end appliances. And this is where she finds Artist in the midst of preparing an elaborate salmon dish.
Yes.
That looked very good.
So good. I was like, I'll eat some of that.
I know. I was like, do I want to go buy some salmon right now? But I knew it wouldn't be as good if I made it myself. So.
Yeah.
Artist and Nirma just like immediately they like can't communicate with each other because he's like very cool and kind of has this like sardonic sense of humor. And she is very literal. There's also a running joke about her being named after a washing powder, which I did not write down every time it happens, but it happens a lot.
Yeah.
And then she gets a phone call from her Chinese tour group, and Artist overhears her speaking Mandarin on the phone, and he's like, why do you speak Mandarin? And she says that her dad told her that because China is the most populous country, it will always be in demand. Good advice from your dad.
Yeah. A bummer, though, that she clearly wanted to study, like, another European, European language, and then chose not to because her father told her not to, and it's like... Girl, I would have loved to, like, at the end of the movie, seen her, like, I don't know, listening to a French tape or something.
Sure,
like,
yeah. If she was able to, like, learn a language to fluency in later in her life, then she could do another one. Like,
yeah.
Learn some other things.
Exactly.
But so artist then tells her to swear in Mandarin, and she does not, because she does not swear in any language. And he starts to kind of like, he's teasing her, he's kind of advancing on her, like not actually in a threatening way, but he's swearing as he's coming towards her. And so Nirma starts to feel intimidated. She pulls out some pepper spray that she then accidentally deploys into her own face.
Yeah.
So she's incapacitated herself.
Yeah.
We cut then to Nirma sitting in the living room with an ice pack over her eyes, and she's explaining to Artist how her car was stolen. So clearly they've gotten past the pepper spray.
Well, the good news is, like, you know pretty quickly if this guy's safe, because
yeah,
if he's
like,
not, he would have done something while you pepper sprayed yourself in the face.
This is true, yeah. So the fact that he's like, it's okay, I'll take care of you, is probably a good sign that he's safe. That's not necessarily how I would recommend trying to figure that kind of thing out. High risk, high reward kind of a situation.
When you suspect you're in danger, pepper spray yourself in the face and see what happens.
See if the people around you come to your aid. That's how you know whether or not they're good people. Yeah.
If they don't, you're screwed.
You're like, I can't be friends with any of you. And also, some of you might kidnap me and throw me in a river or something. Okay. So they make arrangements to meet up the next day, and she asks him what his services cost, but then he just disappears, leaving behind a half-eaten plate of salmon.
Yeah.
Very mysterious.
I would have eaten that.
I kind of had a memory in my head that she did, but she doesn't.
No, but I like to think she did.
Yeah, I definitely would have too. we then cut to a chop shop. And we see that Nirma's car has been taken here. This is where it's hanging out. And we meet the movie's villain, Fayez Bhai, who is in the middle of forcing a man who owes him money to walk on a treadmill.
Yeah, barefoot. Well,
ooh, I didn't even notice that he was barefoot.
That's yeah, he'd made him, like, there was a trail of socks and shoes. And that would genuinely, like, that would hurt.
I was wondering, like, what was he doing to force this man to continue being on the treadmill? What would have happened to him if he had, like, fallen? Or, because I was expecting them to show, like, knives or something behind him.
I think his hands were taped to the treadmill.
Okay.
I think.
And if he had, like, stepped onto the sides or something, he would have gotten in trouble. So, just the threat.
Yeah.
Fayez Bhai is scary enough that you're just going to do whatever he tells you, even if you could, in theory, stop.
Yes.
Is what we're establishing. Yeah. But so, while he's torturing this man, Fayez Bhai also punishes one of his goons for feeding chocolate to his prized fighting goat, Bahubali.
Mm-hmm.
Fayez Bhai eventually agrees to let the treadmill guy go if he sings his favorite song, which the man does. And then throughout the rest of the movie, we see Fayez Bhai calling this man to make him sing this song to him, even when he's on the toilet. The treadmill guy is on the toilet. But so then we go back to Nirma, and we see her go to a bar wearing ill-fitting high heels, and she has dressed herself up to go out and meet up with her coworkers and talk to her boss. And I just need, like, her coworkers are horrible. They're immature.
So mean.
Like, with how they talk about her. It's just like, you're adults. Like, grow up.
I was thinking about that. I was like, that is such a hostile working environment where, like, they're whispering and giggling about you. And it made me feel a lot of feelings.
Yes. Like, it's like, this is such middle school, high school mean girl behavior, which brings back feelings that
I don't. Right. And, like, you really only need that to happen to you once in your life for you to never, ever forget it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I'm just like, that's not okay. Those horrible, horrible women are horrible.
They are.
I hate them.
And the boss is like, she doesn't put a stop to it. She, like, hears it going on and she's just like, whatever.
The thing is, Nirma is sweet.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know how you can be mean to someone who is sweet that.
No, totally.
And, like, had clearly put in an effort and she just keeps trying and they keep being mean and yeah.
They're horrible. But so Nirma, who also, by the way, she looks beautiful. She's like,
she does,
done up her hair, done her makeup, and she looks gorgeous. And so she goes to her boss. She asks her boss why she never gets any of the good assignments at work. And her boss tells her that she needs to work on herself and she also needs to work on her English.
Now, Kim, you're a supervisor.
Uh-huh.
That, to me, seems like really bad advice to give to a supervisee who comes to you and is like, what do I need to do this? And if you just saying, work on yourself.
Yeah, it's not very specific.
Like, the English thing, sure. It's like, you need to tighten up your English translations. Fine. But, like, everything else, it's like, well, in what way? Tell me what I actually need to do here. Like, her boss sucked.
Her boss really does suck. And it's also, like, the suggestion seems to be that Nirma needs to work on who she is as a person.
Exactly.
And I'm like, no, she doesn't need to do that. You need to help her understand how who she is as a person can thrive in this working environment. Or you need to tell her she should find somewhere else to work. Like, which she does eventually do, but anyway, yeah.
Right.
So we go back to Artist's apartment, where a group of men, including the one who Nirma met at the police station, have delivered a safe to him to crack. And the manual for this safe is written in Chinese, and luckily Nirma arrives at that moment to translate for him that this safe is unbreakable. Artist scoffs at this and then proceeds to, I can only say, seduce this safe open. Like, that's what he does. Yeah. He just charms it open. He later tells Nirma that he can break any lock by listening for its heartbeat.
Wow.
As they drive together to go gather more intel about her car, Nirma asks if Artist has ever stolen a car. And he says no, they don't cross work in that way. Mm. And then he asks if she's ever stolen something, and she says no. And he says that it's only a matter of time and that everybody steals something sometime.
Mm-hmm.
And then they get stuck in traffic. There's this political demonstration. Artist puts an end to the disruption by paying the musicians to play the national anthem, which then brings the celebratory mood to an end and the politicians clear off. This is not important to the plot, but I do really like him diffusing the situation cleverly, non-violently.
Yeah.
I just find that very compelling.
Me too. I mean, that's a good trait in anyone.
I agree. Yes. Any person who can just, like, solve a problem that efficiently. It's very impressive.
Using wit.
Yes. I am not a witty person, so I greatly admire those who are.
Me too.
But so back to the actual plot relevant stuff. Artist and Nirma go to talk to a man Artist calls Mr. UK, and he heads this sort of criminal enterprise of young boys who beg for money. And then I didn't totally fully write down the notes for this, but they, like, somehow turn a profit from the money that they're begging.
Because I weirdly remember this, because the government, if you bring them 90 rupees in coins, they give you 100 rupees.
In, like, in bills, like they're trying to...
So you get ten
rupees every time
you
bring
them. You get 10 rupees.
Okay, because that was what I had written down. I was like, the government gives, and then I was like, wait, that's weird. Why would they do that? But the coins thing makes sense. Okay, but
if you have it on a big enough scale,
yeah, that profit ends up adding up bit by bit. But so Mr. UK says that he will let them know if he hears anything about Nirma's car. Back with the bad guys, Fayez Bhai's goons tell him that they can't sell Nirma's car. They don't know it's Nirma's car, but they can't sell this cute little red car because Bahubali has settled in. It's his new favorite place to hang out. And Fayez Bhai is like, well, we can't upset him. He's got a big fight coming up.
I don't know why a goat would want to hang out in a car. That's like a big goat.
Yeah.
And that's not that big of a car.
No, I guess maybe it's like his little den for sleeping, and then he goes out to hang out in the yard, but he goes back and slumbers in the car.
Maybe.
Maybe he likes the plastic seat covers that are still on there.
You know how you love that sensation when you're just sitting on, like, a plastic seat on something?
Maybe if you're a goat, you're into that kind of thing. Nirma, meanwhile, has a fight with her boss, who tells her again that she's not ready for bigger assignments, and if she's unhappy about that, then she should just quit. And so Nirma is upset, and she goes to Artist's building, where he's just hanging out on his roof, and she tells him that she has no other choice but to quit her job. It's her only option. Artist then grabs her by the arm and drags her to the edge of the roof, asking if they would survive if they jump. And Nirma says no, and she's begging him to let her go, and then he jumps backwards.
Mm-hmm.
And he says there are always options in every situation.
I like that lesson.
Yeah, it's a good lesson. It's a harsh way to teach it, but it's true. It's good to
know. It helps to teach critical thinking.
This is true, yes. And also how particularly hard that is when you feel like you're backed into a corner.
Yes.
You can take a deep breath. So Nirma and Artist then go to meet with another of his contacts who, as it turns out, is the man who stole Nirma's car. And this man is driving them in a different car, and Nirma very naively asks why this man stole her car when he has such a nice car of his own. This car is, of course, also stolen.
I love how innocent she is. Yeah. It's really a miracle she hasn't been taken advantage of earlier than this.
Seriously, yeah. But so this man tells them that he took her car to someone named Golbandia, and if they want it back, they can bring Golbandia a new cell phone, and he'll give them the car for the cell phone. Mm-hmm. So Nirma and Artis go to the mall, and on their way to the cell phone store, Nirma says that she feels like after everything she has been through over the last couple of days, she's not afraid of anything. An artist sees this as an opportunity to teach another lesson, and so he hands her a wad of cash and tells her to use it to go and buy the phone. And right as she is at the register about to pay, artist kind of sneaks up behind her and whispers, by the way, it's fake money, and then leaves.
Yep.
And so Nirma panics, and she just leaves the store, walks straight out of the store, and the salesperson is calling after her, chasing after her. When he catches up to her, it's just to hand her the phone. So she's not in any trouble, and artist says the money was real all along. He was just trying to, again, kind of teach her a lesson, not to get cocky. Yeah. Don't get cocky, kid.
Right. I just think it's funny that that's her reaction. She's just like, I'll just hustle away.
And... which is way more suspicious.
Yes. Like,
pretend you didn't know. You didn't know.
Yeah.
On their way to meet Golbandia, Nirma tells Artist that she used to have a speech impediment. And finding that out about her, it just does really make a lot of her character make sense. Mm-hmm. You know, that she used to have a stutter and she struggled to talk to people. Like, it makes sense that she lacks confidence. Not that I feel like that should happen, but I know that that's something that a lot of people experience.
Yeah, it can go hand in hand. Yeah.
But she says that she would work with a speech therapist who would make her talk with balls in her mouth. And Artist chuckles at this and says that that means something different to him than it does to her. Also not plot relevant, but I did find it funny.
It is funny. I mean, is he a grown man? Yes. Should he be finding ball jokes funny? Don't we all?
There's
sometimes?
A time. Yeah, you know, I think when it's the right timing of the dirty, inappropriate jokes, it can really land exactly right.
Yeah.
But so they arrive at Golbandia's chop shop, and they ask a man where they can find Nirma's car, and he points them into a garage, and we see a car that has been just completely stripped of its parts.
Yeah, it felt like seeing a dead body.
Like a corpse. And Nirma falls to her knees and she cries softly. She picks up one of the screws from her car as a keepsake, which is very sad. Artist is like really sad for her too, which is very sweet.
Yeah.
Big softy. I will say this moment would have been a lot more impactful if we didn't know that her car was fine.
Yeah.
I like that we've already met the villain and everything and we've gotten to have like some comedic moments with him, but it would have been maybe more effective for us to think that her car had been demolished and then we see.
You're right. And then like the next scene, it's like you see Bahubali like hanging out in the car and that's when they do the whole, this is his new favorite spot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, like, as it is, the next scene is Artis finding out from Mr. UK that actually the car thief lied and he gave it to Faizbai.
Yeah.
And not to the other guy he said he gave it to. Mm-hmm. So Faizbai, meanwhile, is meeting with some people from Animal Planet who want to make a documentary about animal fighting around the world.
Yeah, which is wild. Animal Planet would be very against that.
Right.
Unless it was, like... we're highlighting bad stuff.
Well, that's what I was like. Either they would be not doing this, or if they were, it would be like they were going undercover to like see this, because they're not going to show like a positive depiction of animal fighting. But anyway, so it works for Faizbai, and he's really excited about his prized goat getting to appear in this documentary.
Yes.
But so Nirma is back home. She's mourning her car, and the sketchy guy comes back asking her about her Wi-Fi. And
being creepy again.
Yeah, stroking his
backpack. And I'm like, just stop fondling your backpack strap, please.
Just leave. Go do that in private.
You're in public. Yeah.
So she walks out of her apartment. She's holding a pair of scissors, and he kind of like sees the scissors in her hand and is like, oh, what are you going to do with those? That's uh-huh. That's the expression he has. And so she just cuts the cable going into her apartment, and just like, yeah. she like makes eye contact with him the whole time. And then she just yeah. goes back in her apartment, and like that man is never coming back to try to be creepy again.
It's a baller move.
It really is.
And, like, her facial expression doesn't change just the entire deadpan. Time.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's scary.
It is. But, yeah, clearly she's, you know, she's starting to get a little more confident and brave.
Yeah.
And then, even more confident and brave, Nirma goes to work and she tells her boss that she plans to hand in her notice after she's taken a full month off using all of the PTO she has accrued. And her boss mm-hmm. is like, yeah, sure, great, go for it.
Yeah.
Pretty sweet deal. But as she's riding home from work on the bus, she sees a picture in the newspaper of Bahubali sitting in her car. And she knows it's her car. It's got the license plate. It's got the sticker that she put on the back. It's hers.
Mm-hmm.
And she goes to Artist, but he is reluctant to take on Faiz Bhai. And Nirma yeah. says that she wants her car back. She doesn't care who stole it. She leads him onto the roof and reminds him that there is always an option. There are always other options.
Mm-hmm.
She leaves him there. She tries to report this to the cops, but they're really dismissive of her again. And when she gets back to her apartment, Artist is creepily hanging out on her balcony in the dark.
Yeah.
And he's got a mustard stain on his shirt, which she notices. And then he's like, okay, like, here's an option. We have an option.
What's the significance of the mustard stain?
I don't know. I don't know if I remember.
Because he's always so put together.
Yeah.
That makes it seem like he's wrestled with this and it's like, oh, I'm a little unkempt now.
Yeah, he didn't have the mustard stain when she talked to him at first.
Right.
And we don't see him get them. Like, that probably could have been impactful if we see him, like, stain his shirt yeah. and then somehow that is what makes him, like...
Yeah, so maybe they cut this. Out a scene or something.
Maybe, yeah.
It just seemed weird to even include it.
Yeah, I agree. But so they have a plan. Faiz Bhai is throwing a big party to celebrate Bahubali's birthday, complete with a cake with the movie poster of Bahubali on it, which is
so good.
Very funny. Artist is working with the catering staff at this party, and he learns from the caterer that Faiz Bhai hired a makeup artist for Bahubali's appearance in this Animal Planet documentary.
Uh-huh.
What makeup does a goat need? It's a great question. I don't have an answer.
I feel like putting makeup on a goat. Like, a goat would probably be the animal to put makeup on.
Would it? Why?
You know? I don't know. Something about their bone structure. Like, they've got more cheekbones than other animals. I don't know.
Well, that's why you don't need makeup. If you have cheekbones naturally, right. You just have them, you know? You don't need to contour your
face.
That's
a good point. I guess I was thinking about, like, eyeshadow or something. I don't know. Yeah, it's hard, all ridiculous.
It's hard for me to picture putting makeup on anything with fur. But also, isn't that, like, putting makeup on a pig or lipstick on a pig? That's, like, a saying, isn't it?
That is a thing, yeah. But I think it's, like, a thing to be, like, you shouldn't do it because a pig is a pig, even
right,
if you
exactly.
put lipstick on it.
Yeah, it's not a putting makeup on a goat, just like putting lipstick on a pig.
Yeah, I think same they go thing. Hand in hand.
Yeah. But this does give Artist an idea, and so he and Nirma go to the market, and they buy a goat who looks almost identical to Bahubali, but has an extra toe. The caterer from the party is also at the market, and he sees them there, and he sees this goat, and he says, oh, that extra toe, that's actually lucky.
That's good.
Yes, but also bad. So Nirma poses as the makeup artist, and when she's alone with Bahubali, she takes him out to Artist and swaps him with the imposter goat. By the time Faiz Bhai and his goons realize that Bahubali is a fake, Artist and Nirma have made it back to her apartment with Bahubali. So they've got him.
Mm-hmm. Huzzah!
They have a romantically charged dinner together, and Artist shows Nirma how to use chopsticks.
Mm-hmm.
The title of the movie.
And she was struggling in earlier scenes.
Yes, and now she has been given the tutoring she needs.
To be fair, though, I think picking up a peanut with chopsticks
that was a
is
bad
like, really difficult.
Yeah. Start with, like, something big and...
Like a marshmallow.
Weirdly shaped. Yeah, marshmallows, something sticky. Just pierce it till it sticks to your chopsticks. But they also, like, they make, like, trainer things for chopsticks mm-hmm, that they give
they
to,
do.
Like...
I used to use them as a kid.
I did, too. Yeah. I'm still not very good with chopsticks. But I also...
Me neither.
I get annoyed with, like, my dad and his wife are really good with chopsticks because they use chopsticks anytime they eat Chinese food, which they do a lot because mm-hmm. they live in New York. And I don't think it's bad to not be good at using chopsticks when you didn't grow up in a culture that uses them on a regular basis. Like, it's just like anything else. Yeah. If you're not raised in something and you're not good at using it, you don't need to make someone feel stupid for that.
No, like, you can use a fork.
Yes, you totally can. I have gotten better with chopsticks over the years, but anyway, that's my chopsticks trauma for you. Thanks for listening. Okay, so Artis then says it's time for them to make the call. So he calls Faiz by and tells him to give them the car and they will give him Bahubali back.
Mm-hmm.
But then the caterer goes to Faiz Bai's house to get paid, and he sees the fake goat, he recognizes the extra toes, and Faiz Bai makes him rat Artist out.
Yeah.
But the caterer is on Artist's side here, so he calls Artist to warn him that Faiz Bai's goons are coming for him. Artist calls Nirma and tells her to meet him at the train station so they can get out of town quick, and he gets tickets for a train from Mr. UK. But as Nirma is packing to go to the station, she looks into Bahubali's crazy goat eyes. Goats have scariest eyes.
Goat eyes are really scary.
They're really, like, literally, they, like, are the devil's eyes. Like,
yeah. I remember the first time I looked into a goat eye, and there was that little thing that just wiggles.
Oh,
and
God.
It freaked me out so much.
Even, like, horses with the, they have the same,
horses
like, the straight
have it
across
too. Yeah.
Peoples. Horses, I can't, but...
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways,
you
gotta.
You can't look too closely. Like,
right.
I say this as a horse girl.
Yeah.
You can't look too closely.
Don't, like, gaze into their eyes. Yeah.
If you just look at their eye as, like, a whole, it's really soft and gentle and sweet. And
yeah.
You're like, oh, look at those big brown eyes.
Yeah.
Don't look closer.
Don't. It's so funny.
It will freak you out.
Very disturbing. But, yeah, so Nirma realizes that she has done something wrong, and there is a better way out of this situation.
Mm-hmm.
So Faiz Bai's goons torture Mr. UK, they go and find Artist at the train station, but he gets away, and then someone delivers food to Faiz Bai that is labeled as mutton, and he assumes the worst.
Yeah.
But
that all looked, sorry.
Were you going to say it looked
food,
really good?
All that food looked really good.
Just had a new Indian restaurant open here in town, and it's
really,
really, really good. Ben and I have gotten takeout there twice since they opened, like, less than a month ago. They're excellent. Yeah, it's awesome. So Nirma then arrives at Faiz Bai's house, and she has Bahubali. And she's just standing outside with him in the rain. And just then Artist runs up behind her in a very wet white button down.
Classic.
And Nirma says to Faiz Bai that she did not mean to hurt him or humiliate him. She only wanted him to realize how it feels when you lose something that you love. But she says that now she has realized that her car is just a car and Bahubali is like a child to Faiz Bai, which is very sweet. It's his, like, beloved pet who he makes fight brutally other animals.
It's like Pokemon.
Minus the sort of charm of all that. So she hands over Bahubali's lead and Faiz Bai tells his goons to give her the keys to her car. And I don't think I wrote this down, but he does also say that Bahubali will no longer be fighting.
I like that she kind of helped him see that he cares about this goat.
Yeah.
As a living thing and not as a fighter.
Yes, not as That's a tool nice. For making money. Like, he truly cherishes him. And Nirma also gives Faiz Bai some chocolate to give to Bahubali, which is very sweet because we know he loves chocolate. I'm not sure that's a great choice to give a goat, but...
Yeah, whatever. I don't know if it, like, will kill a goat the way it'll kill a dog.
Yeah, but... we'll just assume that no. Artist is wetly leaning against Nirma's car. They drive off together with the plastic still on the seats, and Artist tells Nirma she took everyone to the cleaners today. That's the fun circling back to that joke.
She solved her own problems.
She did, and she was very brave, and mm-hmm. she was also, but she did it her way too, which is full of love and very caring. So Nirma drops Artist at his apartment and then proudly swears at him in Mandarin. And
but she just calls him an idiot.
I know. I wondered if that was actually what that meant or if that was just the subtitles.
I feel like it actually was what they meant because it's a Netflix film. And so I feel like they wouldn't have shied away if she had actually sworn.
Okay. It's like a Netflix produced film. That doesn't matter to this, but I didn't realize that.
It is a Netflix produced film.
Okay.
Apparently it was like the first Netflix produced Hindi language film.
Oh, that's cool.
Apparently, according to one of the reviews that I was reading that was like, did not like it. But okay. Yes.
So she's proud still of what mm-hmm. she says. And then she tells him to invite her to the opening of his restaurant someday. So that's very nice. 2 days later, Nirma's boss sees her composed and confident, showing a group of Chinese tourists how to eat with their hands.
Yeah.
As the credits roll, Nirma arrives at home and finds a covered dish on her table. Under the lid is a new phone with a message telling her to watch a cooking show that night at 8 o'clock. She tunes in mm-hmm. to see Artist competing on the show, introducing himself as Artist, saying he is a hobby chef and his profession is lox.
Yeah.
The end. I don't feel like we needed there to be any romantic tension between these two.
No, it felt out of place. Like yeah. the one piece that they tried to add in.
Yeah. And I feel like the first time I watched it, I was maybe like wanting there to be like romance between the two characters. So when it happened, I was like, ooh. And then like watching it again, I was like, there really isn't anything romantic between these two. No. There's no real chemistry until they try to like manufacture. I mean, there's chemistry, but there's not romantic chemistry.
It's until they manufacture it. Yeah. I know. I like them just as like friends slash acquaintances, companions moving through the world for these couple of days.
I agree.
You know?
Yeah. And Abe Deal can still be attractive.
Right.
You know,
for sure.
They don't need to do anything different with his character.
I think it adds to his air of mystery.
Yeah. Yeah. Like the way I think they didn't need to change anything about either character. Just like leave out the part where they weirdly like hold hands.
Touched hands.
Yeah.
Yeah. That wasn't necessary.
Yeah. I agree.
Because I almost feel like it would be more of like had they actually wanted to include a romantic storyline, which again, I don't think they needed to, but I feel like they should have done more of a Dear Zindagi thing with it. Where it was more of like he's kind of guiding her along and so maybe she starts to kind of have a little crush on him, but it's not actually that serious and it's more of a like something that's, well, I know in Dear Zindagi she does express it, but in this movie that she wouldn't express it necessarily, it would just kind of be like this like, I am attracted to this person because of how he helped me to grow and become mm-hmm. Better version of myself, and now I'm gonna take that energy and meet someone who's better suited to me. Like,
yeah,
that's how I would have wanted that to play out if they were gonna do that. But I agree, it didn't need that. It felt weird and forced and unnecessary.
Yeah, I agree. But yeah, okay, I want to hear about the reviews. I had written down when I finished the movie, because on IMDb, the movie has like a 6.5 out of 10, which is low. It's not as crazy low as the Rotten Tomatoes rating for this movie. But I also just, like, I was skimming the reviews that people actually wrote, and it's all these people being like, oh, this movie is like really sweet. It's really unique. It's really charming. 6 out of 10.
Yeah.
I'm like, why? Yeah.
I don't understand that. Like, at least give it a 7. If you genuinely don't have anything bad to say about it. But again, I wonder if it's because they're, like, comparing it to movies that it's not.
Yeah, you and I feel like they are. And I don't know. I think about, like, we compared it to Queen, which I still think is apt. And I mean, I think Queen's a better movie.
I do, too.
But not that significantly that I would put the two next to each other and be like, oh, Chopsticks is actually worse if I put it next to
I
think they're both good fun movies that should both exist because they're good and fun.
It is a similar vibe. I was skimming through. I didn't really write down anything from the negative reviews except our dear friend Anupama Chopra, who did write a review, and hers was the only one I wrote quotes down from because it's her. Of course I did.
Yeah.
But it was interesting. One of the main complaints I saw, and this I can kind of get behind, was like the weird written messages on the backs of cars.
Yeah.
People were like, this would have worked if you'd been a little more subtle. But then it was like you didn't believe in your ability to be subtle, so you decided to try to like clunk us over the head with these messages, which actually just felt a little like tacky.
That feels like such an extreme thing to be critical of, though, because that happens, right? like a handful of times.
It happens two or three times,
and
yeah.
I feel like the movie is subtle enough in other ways that that shouldn't be the main criticism you have about it.
Yeah.
That just feels like such a small thing to be like, well, it's bad.
Well, and I guess also if you think about it in the way that, like, she puts such importance on, you know, everything adding up to 11 and how that's, like, a bad sign.
That's
and
true,
she's excited about the, like, goat having an extra toe that's, like, good luck. But then it's kind of funny that she doesn't notice any of those more blatant signs.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. We could, in a way, say that that was, like, intentional.
Yeah. I think it's a fair criticism. I don't think that it took anything away from the movie for me, and I think it's feels exaggerated to say that it made the movie, like, significantly worse.
Right. I agree. So that was, like, the one thing that I saw repeated in other negative reviews. Like, and again, this is the critics' reviews that I was reading through.
Sure.
But that was a common thing. So Anupama Chopra wrote a few things. She gave a little synopsis, but then she said, Chopsticks is also a coming-of-age story. Of course it is. Through her quest for her car, Nirma learns to face life and believe in herself. The trouble is, by then, we don't care very much.
Oh.
Sachin and screenplay writer Rahul Await can't seem to decide on the film's essence. So we start with comedy and peppy music, but by the end, the tone is darker as the gangster is issuing torture threats. We also get scenes designed to be inspirational, a hint of romance, and Hallmark card-level life lessons. So I actually disagree with her on the villain front.
I do too, yeah.
I don't think he ever outgrows his role as, like, the small-time villain of a comedy.
Yeah.
You know, like...
Yeah, I mean, I think they wanted to say that artist is scared of this guy, and I believe it.
Yeah.
I believe that this guy is capable of doing things that are scary. I don't think that the movie veers into a dark place. It's not like they really elaborate on that at all. And even like the threats of torture that happen, like, nobody actually gets tortured.
No. And like, yeah, I think we're allowed to believe that he would do that in order to take him seriously as a villain and person that artists would be scared of. But I think it still maintains the same light tone.
Yes, I agree. I don't think there's a shift in tone.
So there was that. I didn't personally feel inspired by any scenes, but I loved it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, no, I didn't think it was, like, campy or over the top or anything like that. Like, I think it's good.
Then Anupama Chopra had this to say about the actors. She said, "The actors do what they can. Matilla has a charming presence. Her vulnerability, which comes off as authentic, is endearing, but the winsome act gets tiresome because she has little support from the sloppy script. Mm. Abe Diol is saddled with a character who seems like a GQ magazine version of a Mumbai con man. Vijay Raz's droll expressions add some humor, but I suspect he can do roles like this in his sleep."
Mm.
That I do. That role felt very effortless for him. Like, he clearly has some really good charisma. And I think they could have utilized him more, but I don't think they should have, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, I think it's just funny. Like, this is the first time I feel like I so actively disagree with everything Anupama Chopra is. I mean, I agree that all of the actors
did really
a good job. I don't think that they were given bad material to do a good job with.
I think they were just given quiet roles.
Yeah.
It's a quiet, small film, and they were given quiet, small roles.
Right.
And I'm not saying that in a bad way.
No.
It's just that was the scope of the film.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so then she ended by saying, "Netflix was involved from the scripting stage. Streaming platforms have no censor restrictions, no need to appease an audience, no obligation to serve the box office, and no rules on content except quality. And the best they could come up with is this. That really gets my goat. Sorry, but I couldn't resist."
All right. Well, I don't mind a little bit of goat humor at the end. That's such an interesting observation, because I feel like that's almost been flipped in a weird way now, where I feel like a lot of times the fact that streaming services aren't necessarily held to the same standards at the because there's not those box office expectations, it means that they can make these like quieter films that I know in Hollywood and I know in Bollywood too are like struggling to kind of get off the ground, or are like getting drowned by these bigger films at the box office that are just bad. So like, it's interesting hearing that perspective when this movie came out in 2019, where I feel like there's almost been this kind of about face that's happened with with just like the industries around the world generally.
I agree. I said it earlier in this episode, but I don't think we should be expecting every single film coming out to be big in whatever way that is.
Yeah.
It's important to have these smaller things where it's like, sure, the only conflict is that this woman gets her car stolen and it's just the journey of her trying to get it back. That is a very simple plot, yes. But life is simple in a lot of ways.
It is, and also there's more to it than that. Like, you know, that's like the story, but there's more, you know, they add to it. They make it interesting. Yeah. They make it compelling, in my opinion. And yeah, I agree with you. Like, I think it's nice to watch a movie that feels relatable. That's also not trying to be like, you don't get the sense that this movie is trying to be like a piece of fine cinema, you know, like this movie was not trying to win any Oscars or anything. It was just trying to like tell a charming story that felt relatable, and it did. So
I agree. I guess, you know, what it really comes down to is like, some people are gonna like this movie, some people aren't, and that's fine.
And that's
I really enjoy it.
I agree. And if people don't like this movie, I respect that. I would never try to force anyone to like it. And I would hope that no one would try to force us or convince us that our opinion is wrong either.
Yeah, I agree.
Yes.
So thank you for watching that for my birthday.
It was my pleasure, truly. And thank you for looking into the criticism, because it was really jarring to see.
On another note, because I had that's kind of in lieu of research this week, because originally when I picked Chopsticks, I thought, great, I will research goat fighting in India, because I didn't know that was a thing until I saw this movie. And then today when I Googled it, it was a lot of videos that I didn't want to watch.
No.
And maybe some references to it being illegal. Then when I just Googled, like, is goat fighting illegal in India, I didn't really get anything except PETA's website. And obviously, PETA has very strong feelings about goat fighting. And I, too, believe that if I knew more about it, I would continue to not be into the idea. It probably would have been sad. So
that's what I was thinking. I'm in a little way glad that you weren't able to find anything about that to have it be an extended research segment, because I think, it would have been a bummer.
Yeah.
Even to find out that it was made illegal, but there's still, like, underground stuff happening. Like,
which is
really
apparently
sad.
Kind of what's happening. Although it was interesting, I do think it's funny, after us talking about, like, Animal Planet doing this documentary on animal fights around the world, and, like, there was definitely a clip that was, like, illegal animal fighting rings around the world. And I was like, yeah, that's not going to have a positive outlook on this whole situation.
Yeah.
Unlike in this movie, where it seems like they're celebrating it.
Right. They're like, oh, we want to tell the story. And it's like,
and I say that understanding that there is room to understand that, like, animal fighting in certain cultures at certain times has great cultural importance. Like, yes, that is true. I think we are maybe at a day and age where we can find alternatives for celebrating certain parts of culture and heritage that don't involve animals fighting each other.
Yeah, I agree. Watch two consenting adults fight each other in safe, like, following safe regulations.
Exactly. Done. There's a lot of that out there.
There's plenty. Yeah, watch some wrestling. It's fun stuff.
Go to your local bar. I've never seen a bar fight in person, and I hope I never do.
I know. I don't know how I would handle it. I would be scared. Like, I saw a lot of fights in high school. Did you have people who fought in your school?
There were definitely, like, one or two fights.
Okay.
But it wasn't a consistent thing. Like, I know that in Armchair Expert, Monica talks about how they people go to the Waffle House parking lot to fight. Like, that was the spot.
Oh, Waffle House.
But I never, like, we never had, like, a spot.
Well, people just fought in my school.
Oh, like, just in the hallways.
Yeah.
Like, a lot?
Oh, yeah, yeah. That was, like, you know, every couple of months. Yeah. I remember there being one that started like at one end of the hallway and just like they just fought their way down and nobody, like all of the male teachers were coming out trying to separate them and just nobody could get them to separate. One of the guys who was in that fight, my sister dated him for a little while.
Oh God.
He lived across the street from my house.
Oh no.
He definitely spent a certain amount of time in prison.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Wow. Life, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Interesting stuff.
So that was Chopsticks. It was great. We'll watch again. Highly recommend. Don't watch it if you don't like it. I don't want to hear about it.
Yeah.
But yeah, Bollywood Star Watch.
A fun little thing that I learned. So apparently Nick Jonas is currently starring in a revival of The Last 5 Years.
Did you know about this? On stage.
Yeah.
No.
And I meant to actually look up if it's on Broadway. I sort of just assumed that it was, but I don't actually know that for a fact.
I mean, I've never actually seen it, the musical, okay. Even the movie. Like, I haven't listened to the music or anything, but I mean, I feel like it's big enough that it coming back to Broadway would be reasonable, right?
Yeah, definitely. It was a big show. I mean, not in the sense of scale. It's a very small show in the sense of scale. But
reception.
Yeah. I'll get to how this connects to our podcast, and then I'll talk about how I was traumatized by the show the last 5 years.
Oh, God.
But so Rithik went to see it. So that was how I found this out, was Rithik posted a picture on Instagram of him with Nick Jonas and the woman who is playing opposite Nick Jonas in the show.
Oh, yeah.
And Priyanka Chopra Jonas. He was, like, at the show, like, to see them and support them. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So that was fun.
I love that.
Yeah, I know, right? It's very sweet.
Also because worlds colliding. I grew up listening to the Jonas Brothers.
Yeah.
And here we are.
I've never actually seen Nick Jonas act in anything. I don't think. Maybe he's had a cameo or something.
We watched Jumanji together.
Right. Yes. Okay. He was fun in that. Everyone was fun in Jumanji.
Yeah. I think he's a person that if you haven't actually given him a chance as an adult, even if you weren't really even aware of him in his younger years, you might go in thinking certain things about him.
Yeah.
And I do think he tends to, like, change people's minds.
Yeah.
I do like Nick Jonas.
Yeah.
I'm a fan.
So I'm excited about him being in this revival. I hope it goes well. I hope he gets rave reviews. I'm not a fan of the show The Last 5 Years. I think it's a brilliant premise for a show, and the music in it is amazing, but I did not know how...
Sad?
Yes, it's sad and it's heavy. It's heavy.
Mm-hmm.
And I did not know the weight of it. And I watched it as a teenager after having my boyfriend at the time tell me, like, how much she, like, learned about love from the show or something. And then it's, like, infidelity. And, like, he used to sing a song from it to me. And it's a song that, like, the guy sings to the woman that he cheats with.
Oh.
So
it just really, you're like, I went into this thinking one thing and it was very different.
Me as, like, an insecure teenager hearing this and figuring this out,
I
was just
like, am I the other,
like,
woman?
Well, no, more just like, you hate me. I think that what I'm interpreting from all of this is that you hate me.
Oh, God.
Anyway, yeah. So that's my take on The Last 5 Years. Anyway, yeah. So fun stuff.
Great. I love that. Maybe I will have to see if I can go see it. I'm like, do I watch the movie first to decide if that's something I'd want? I don't know.
I mean, I think it's the kind of thing that's really impactful once. Not that it wouldn't be impactful, but I think if you're like, I would really like to see Nick Jonas, like, in this role, and I'm interested in the story, just go see it. Just go see him do
it.
Like, if you watch the movie first, I think there's elements of it and the way that they do it that it would be fun to have it, like, surprise you watching it for the first time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's like the Prestige, you know, where it's like really good the first time, and then every other time you watch it, it's like it's still good, but you know the twist.
But it doesn't have the same, yeah, you kind of wish you could rewind.
Exactly. You wish you could watch it with fresh eyes again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I, classic me, don't have any Bollywood Star Watch, but do you have anything else?
No.
Okay. Cool. Pluggables. Follow us at Two White Girls Talk Bollywood on Instagram. Do what you do there. Mm-hmm. Now that I am posting semi-regularly again.
Woot woot.
I missed a week, but I came back.
You did.
So we're good. Also, consider subscribing to us on whatever podcast platform you listen to us on. You could even leave a rating or review, which would be absolutely wonderful. I did actually check our Spotify reviews. We are up to 14.
Wow, amazing.
That's 14 different people.
And we don't know all of them.
No, so that's exciting.
Yeah.
So thanks for that, friends. But whatever you choose to do or not do, thank you so much for listening.
Indeed. And we mentioned this periodically, but Instagram is also where if you do have a recommendation you want to share with us, feel free to do that. We do actually have mm-hmm. like an official list now that we have been pulling yes. ideas from, but certainly we'd be happy to add new things to that list. So, you know, if there's anything that you think would be fun for us to talk about, let us know. And also, YouTube and Spotify are where you can find our Bollywood Bangers playlists, where we add the songs that we love from the movies that we watch. We link those playlists in our Instagram posts and in our episode descriptions whenever a new episode comes out. So,
yeah. Woot woot.
So, speaking of quieter, smaller, simpler films that mm-hmm. are beautiful and widely accepted as fabulous... yes. Next week, we are going to be watching All We Imagine as Light.
Yes.
We've talked about it on the podcast before. I saw it last year. We talked about how a lot of people felt that it should have been India's nomination for the Oscars or submission right. for the Oscars, and it wasn't, but did win wide acclaim elsewhere. It's a lovely movie. And I'm excited to rewatch it, but I'm particularly excited for you to watch it because I'm just too. Excited to talk about it with you.
Yeah, and I'm excited that I'm doing the recap for it. Yeah. So I'll really be paying attention to it. Mm-hmm. I'm very excited. I'm very ready for like a high quality, critically acclaimed, well, maybe not acclaimed, but critically well received film.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would say it's critically acclaimed. I mean,
how would we define it?
Yeah. Because, I mean, yeah, like, it was very well loved, very well received, and award winning and all this stuff.
Okay, then I feel like, yeah.
Yeah. But it is one of those, like, quieter stories, and it's about life. You know, it's not
I'm so excited.
It's not the kind of it, you know, it's the kind of movie that mirrors life in a way where there's no real. It's kind of about like some things that happen. It's not necessarily like this is the crazy thing that happens to these people. It's just mm-hmm. very real and raw and beautiful. And I loved it.
I love that.
Yeah.
Great. I'm so excited. I'm, like, really excited.
Okay. Yeah. So on IMDb, our plot description is, in Mumbai, Nurse Prabha's routine is troubled when she receives an unexpected gift from her estranged husband. Her younger roommate, Anu, tries in vain to find a spot in the city to be intimate with her boyfriend.
Oh. Okay. All We Imagine as Late is available to rent or buy on Amazon Prime mm-hmm. and probably some other platforms, but I will probably buy it, or I mean, I will probably rent it on Amazon Prime. But the Amazon Prime synopsis is, winner of the grand prize at the 2024 Cannes Film Festival, Payal Kapadia's revelatory fiction feature debut explores and celebrates the lives and textures of contemporary working-class Mumbai. Centering on three women who work together at a city hospital, Kapadia's radiant film is a soulful study of the transformative power of friendship and sisterhood in all its complexities and richness.
So less a plot description and more a very flowery review.
were, yeah, which yeah. is nice, but I was like, I'm glad we had yours because that tells me nothing about the plot.
It really, yeah, it's just...
It's about women in Mumbai.
Yeah, it is.
Great. Well, I am so flipping excited.
Yeah. I'm, like I said, looking forward to chatting about it.
Wunderbar. Until next time, remember, Bollywood doesn't need us.
Nope.
But we need Bollywood.
And despite their creepy eyes, we do need goats.
We do need goats and horses.
and horses. All of those quadrupeds.